Good evening, everybody. This is George Frangoulis, WBFY 100.9 FM, the Farmstead Radio Show. It's Wednesday evening, 6 o'clock, and we're back to talk about all things Maine, good things Maine, with good folks from Maine. I have a very interesting guest with me tonight, and I will be introducing our guest in just a moment. Let me just review a couple of things with you to get you up to speed. You may remember that over the past couple of months, we've had Teddy Matson talking about permaculture. We've had Mary Davis, how to start a garden and start your seeds indoors. Jerry Ireland, if you're listening, Jerry Ireland, the executive director of United Farmer Veterans of Maine. Sharon Turner, who is a master gardener from Appleton, talking again about getting gardening. I called her show Herbs and Birds. We had John Toomey of Howard Farm of Montville, someone who lives pretty much off the grid. We've had Meg Klingelhofer, the executive director of Habitat for Humanity. And last week, Steve Bennett, who runs the Beaver Hill Plantation and is a maple syrup gardener. So those are lots of good Maine folks talking about lots of good Maine stuff. So who do we have with us tonight? Well, this delightful young woman, if you were here to see her, you couldn't imagine that her title is executive director. But she is an executive director. She's the executive director of HOME, H-O-M-E, Homemakers Organized for More Employment. And I'm old enough to remember when HOME was first started back in Hancock County, back in 1970. I came to Maine in 1973, and we had a couple of goats with us. And Sister Lucy of HOME would occasionally bring a doe, come down to our farm, our farmstead in Blue Hill, to meet our goat, Theseus. And Theseus was a good old guy. And I guess he did what he needed to do, because Sister Lucy kept arriving with her station wagon and doe goats in the back. That was before our guests. I'm drawing a blank. why am I doing this? Tracy Hare. Tracy Hare is the executive director of HOME. And Tracy, I want you to speak in just a moment, but before you do, I want to dip back into the pages of Farmstead Magazine. This is our very first issue, which we published in 1973. And we had a page dedicated to HOME. And I want to read a little bit of what it says, and you tell me if this is pretty much the way HOME is today or whether it's changed any. But then the show is yours. It's going to be a sizzling show, as Carrie said. And here's what we said about HOME back in 1973. We're talking over 40 years ago. Since 1970, anyone from anywhere could stop by HOME and purchase locally designed and locally made handcrafts. Beginning May 15th, 1974, anyone can stop and buy seeds and seedlings. And for the rest of the summer, anyone can buy locally grown and hand-picked fruits and vegetables. Each autumn since 1970, local people have signed up for HOME's no-tuition vocational training classes or HOME's high school diploma classes. This autumn of 74, you'll be able to buy honey, cider, pumpkins, ornamental corn, winter squash, and apples, and go to school too. This summer of 74, you can sign up for classes in weaving and pottery. Then you can buy fresh peas, beans, corn, broccoli, cauliflower, peppers, lettuce, cucumbers, carrots, tomatoes, beets, turnips, cabbage, blueberries, and so on if the sun comes out. Or you can have your shoes repaired, or a pair of sandals made, or you can look around at all our beautiful handcrafts, or you can sit a spell outside under the elms and talk about the weather and watch the corn grow. This is all about HOME 43 years ago. That was 1973. We wrote that. This is 2017. Tracy, welcome to the Farmstead Radio Show. How has home progressed, or is it just the same as it was all that time ago?
You know, George, home is almost exactly the same as it was back in 1974. The world's changed a little bit around us, but for the most part, you can come up to the top of the hill on Route 1 in Orland. You can buy fresh produce. We have 3 acres of organic garden between Mandela Farm and on campus there on Route 1. You can still come to classes in our learning center. You can still buy seeds from our market stand and food bank. I think the only difference between 1974 and today is that a lot of our programs are run by homeless people. We have several homeless shelters, and the idea, we try and put homeless people, we try and integrate homeless people into the work of the community. So those wonderful things that you remember back in 1974 still exist, and they're still done by the people that we serve. We have a craft store. You can buy homemade items. We have a wreath business where we buy beautiful balsam fir wreaths from low-income folks, and we decorate them in our wood shop and sell them mostly along the East Coast.
So it has changed a little bit. I remember back in 74, HOME, H-O-M-E, Homemakers Organized for More Employment, was pretty much just that, making crafts and stuff to sell?
That's right. Initially, it was a way for folks to earn a little extra income.
Okay.
And it's changed since then a little bit. When the sisters first started HOME, they recognized very quickly that the home workers that were coming to HOME, they needed childcare. Some of them needed assistance learning to read and write. Some just had an interest in learning a different skill, whether it be weaving or working in the sawmill. So it has changed to that extent. And the sisters also, they started taking people home with them. And this was in response to a lot of people that came for with their crafts. They didn't have housing that was fit for habitation, and so they took them home with them. And that's where the shelters came.
You know, you gave me a little bit of information before the show about how you're helping homeless folks and your shelter program. Before we get into that, and it's fascinating, and I want to hear a lot about that, you mentioned the sisters. Tell me how, what do you mean? Who organized this? What sisters are you talking about?
Okay, so HOME was founded by a group of wild nuns, radical.
Wild nuns, okay.
I have to tell you, nuns that carry chainsaws. When I first came to HOME, I heard this story from Sister Marie, one of the early sisters. And when she arrived at HOME, she asked Sister Lucy if she could stay on and be a part of the mission. And Sister Lucy had said to her, sure, but you have to make your bed. And this is, of course, when Lucy was a sister. She's no longer a nun. But Sister Marie took that to mean make your bed, you know, sheets and a pillow and a blanket, until Lucy handed her a saw, and she actually meant build your bed. You actually had to build the bed. And this is the flavor of the sisters that founded HOME. They cleared the land with Norwegian fjord workhorses. They farmed the land, and they cleared these huge boulders out of the fields where actually Lucy lives right now, up at Mandela Farm, which is one of the shelters. They felled their own trees. They harvested their own firewood. They drove the trucks. They did the plowing.
Their food.
They grew all of their own food. They had, as you mentioned, they had goats, and they still do have goats. I think they have 13 up there now. The only addition to the farm that you may not have seen are peacocks.
Okay.
A woman, Rosa Moore, who's the assistant director at HOME, her mother gave Lucy a gift of a pea hen, I believe, 1 year, and that's grown into about 13 or 14.
Are these just ornamental, or do you eat them?
Oh, no, we don't eat them.
No,
they're
okay.
Ornamental. Actually, okay. Lucy lets them into her room in winter during the
cold
winter
months. I'm sure she does. Well, if I wanted to well, for our listeners, how do we find home? Where is it located?
Okay, it's on the corner of Route 1 and 90 Schoolhouse Road. Corner of Route 1 and Schoolhouse Road, sorry. It's at the top of the hill between, let's see, if you're coming from Bucksport to Ellsworth,
sure,
on Route 1.
Okay.
It's at the top of the hill on the right. You can't miss it. It's 90 Schoolhouse Road in Orland.
And I see some what look like antique buildings on your site too.
There they are. So the chapel, I was told, came from downtown Orland, and that was trucked up here up to the co-op. All of the buildings were pieced together, actually. There was no plan for home. It was all organic, just like the gardens. Every building is pieced together. You know, we needed a place for the weavers, so the weaving studio was brought up to the co-op. We needed a wood shop, so that was built. We built a sawmill, an automotive garage. We have several greenhouses, and the learning center was built, and there are houses on grounds that we've also built, a pottery studio, a stained glass studio. The leather shop is still there.
Oh my.
It's not functioning now as a leather studio. Our goal, we're not sure what the future for the leather studio will be. We've had some conversation about making tombstones. A lot of folks have passed that have been in our community,
yes,
and without loved ones. So we've been that, played that part in their
life.
That
sounds like you've got you got some help too. Who are these volunteers who come to teach and to instruct?
We have over 400 volunteers a year, and we have about 42 staff at this point.
Oh my goodness!
Yeah.
And you're the executive director.
I am since September.
September of last year.
September
2016.
Of last year. Yes.
And what were you doing before that, Tracy?
I had worked at home for 12 years. And I had moved away briefly to work at a ministry in Harlem, serving food to people in the streets of Harlem and giving Reiki treatments to folks. And the nuns, obviously, they took me in 12 years ago, so they're a big part of my life. And I moved back. And my role at home is I've been in the Learning Center, but for the most part, I was doing fundraising and then Lucy's assistant.
I see.
What's fascinating about home, they made it all the way until about 2014 without using computers. And so that's where I came in. I found myself in my younger years there, just running around for the nuns, typing up letters and things, which was such an amazing experience for me. I'm really blessed to have worked with them in that capacity.
That makes me think of when we started Farmstead Magazine back in 1973, and I sold the business in 1988, and just at that time the Macintosh computer came into being, and I took a position at the University of Alabama teaching communication and media studies, and one of my first tasks, the dean asked me, would I be willing to instruct computers, because we have a new Mac lab. Mm-hmm. And I had to fake it because I didn't know anything about computers. But I realized that there were some pretty knowledgeable young men and women in the class who were geeks.
Right.
And so as long as I could teach them the elemental styles of writing for media and so forth, that's what they wanted me to do, not to be a techno geek. But anyway, I thought, and I don't take a lot of time talking about this, but if back when we were publishing Farmstead Magazine, if I'd had one or two Macintosh computers, we could have put out a lot more issues than we were doing before in the good old days. But anyway,
it's interesting you say that. We have a publication, a newspaper publication called This Time. And the name This Time came about quite haphazardly, actually. They were in the office and said, what should we call it this time? And someone said, well, let's just call it This Time. And it's old school. And I think one of the important, something that's very important to Lucy is that home and its mission remain, you know, as much as it can in this world, as old school and traditional as possible. So you just reminded me of that story. It's a beautiful paper. It comes out in the spring and fall. It's a 14-page newspaper.
Semi-annual,
yes. Yeah.
And how many pages is it?
14 to 16, it depends.
14
to
16
on,
pages. Yeah. And how is the typeset? CompuGraphic, just kind of the old-fashioned way? And you,
No. We do use...
You use computers?
We do,
Because of you, Tracy.
Well, Ralph. Ralph is a person who's been at home for decades, and he's probably familiar with some of the old Commodore 64 systems that I'm not familiar with. He taught me everything I know.
Ralph the only person that puts the...
No, a gentleman named Josh Prohaska is now our newspaper editor.
And so in total, how many people do you have composing and designing and laying out the newspaper?
Right now, two. Yeah.
Two. Well, I had 22.
Amazing.
Yeah. 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 Gosh. Yeah. It's, anyway.
I mean, we have a lot of contributors, that email him stories and so forth, but he puts it together. And Ralph, he's our tech guru, and he's an incredible guy. He's taught anybody who's come to home over the years without any computer skill before, the last 5 years. Ralph has played a big part in teaching them everything they need to know. He taught me how to use a computer.
Did he? Now, do you teach computer classes to your clients?
We do. Yes, we do. And we do one-on-one right now because everybody who comes to us comes at a very different place in their life. And so we don't have a curriculum based on, 25 students. Although we have an exciting new proposal out, and we're hoping we can make this a reality. It's a dream of ours. We would like to set up a computer lab in our learning center with 5 computers set up and develop a curriculum for folks that's sensitive to it, to people who are homeless and low income.
Okay.
Reaching them where they're at in their life. We're hoping we'll get support for that. We've submitted a proposal, and we're optimistic.
Well, that sounds exciting. Now, you're leading us right into your clientele. Mm-hmm. You know, your typical client who comes to you for help needing instruction in computers, but needing a home as well.
That's right. So a big part of Home's work now has evolved into homeless outreach. And again, that happened organically. We live in Hancock County, and Hancock County is a beautiful area, but it's an area of contrast, deep poverty and affluence. And so Home has 5 homeless shelters located throughout Hancock County. We have a shelter in Ellsworth. We have a women's shelter in Orland, a Mandela Farm homeless shelter up in East Orland, and that's a farm shelter. And we have a men's shelter in Orland and another women's shelter also on grounds in Orland. And altogether, including the Emmaus Center in Ellsworth, we can shelter 66 people on any given night.
How does it break down gender-wise, percentage men to women?
We have more women in shelter, but that's because we have more women's shelters. And what we would like to explore down the road is what's hard. We're turning away a lot of single dads, and that's
really
new for us.
Yeah.
We're looking into our shelter director, Gerald Botta. It's a big concern for him, and it's a hard call to say, we can't house men with children and single men with children.
Yeah.
That's a difficulty. Right now, a men's shelter only has 9 beds.
Okay.
But we do have men at the mixed gender shelters, of course. Yeah.
Are these pairs? Are these in the mixed gender shelters? Are these folks who are paired together? Partners?
No, some are.
Yeah.
We have a couple of family spaces where, partners, mixed gender, same gender, can stay together.
Okay.
For the most part, we do have an example now of a gentleman in our men's shelter, and his partner is in our women's shelter.
Well, I guess I showed my age. I guess you have mixed genders and same genders partners.
Yeah.
Yeah, I understand that.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, tell me a little bit more about the shelters. What are they actually? Do you have individual homes or apartments?
They're actually individual homes. So the St. Francis Inn shelter is in East Orland, and it's a big house located on Acadia Highway, and it's a house. And Mandela Farm also is a big 2-story house up on Toddy Pond. It's about a mile up a dirt road,
yeah.
And that's That's one of our most beautiful shelters in setting because, you know, there's a big barn, there are Norwegian fjords, there are goats, peacocks, chickens, gardens, dogs.
Norwegian fjords?
Yeah.
What are you talking about?
So, you know, I asked the same question, and I probably can't give the technical answer, and if there are any farmers out there, I apologize.
Norwegian bachelor farmers.
They are a workhorse, a big, sturdy.
Okay.
They look a lot like the Clydesdales. They're not, but they look a lot like they're workhorses, and they're typically, the sisters use them to pull logs out of the woods before machinery.
Twitch logs?
Is that what you call it? Twitch
logs? That's what some of us call it, yeah.
Okay, so if Lucy's listening, I have to throw out an apology ahead of time.
Is she listening?
I'm not sure.
Well, you know, we stream on the computer. We're probably she's probably too far away to get it by airwaves.
Sure.
But if you go to BelfastCommunityRadio.org and just put that in as your URL.
Okay.
You'll be able to listen to this all over the world.
I will lead her to that.
Even
she actually
in Orland.
Uses a computer nowadays too.
Oh, good.
So she'd be able to find that no problem.
Well, that's good.
But the fjords are beautiful. They're big, strong horses, and the Lucy had this old workhorse Teddy that she's talked about over the years, and she has this saying. An observation she made was that a gentleman came and asked her to take care of his fancy registered horse. And they put this fancy registered horse in the barn with a workhorse. And she points out that they have no problem drinking from the same dish. And why can't humans? And I've always remembered that. It's something.
Yeah.
I think nice? Lucy has a real knack for teaching things from the animal world, you know.
I think so, too.
Special.
I knew her years and years ago.
Yeah.
She may not remember me. I'm sure she remembers our goat Theseus.
Yeah, and the same with the miniature horses they have up there. There's one of the miniature horses was born with a crooked leg, and it walks kind of different. It's the leader of the pack there, which is again, different to humans.
Yeah,
so
it is.
There's lessons to be learned.
Okay, let me just remind our listeners that this is WBFY. 100.9 FM, Belfast Community Radio. This is the Farmstead Radio Show. I'm George Frangoulis, and I'm with Tracy Hare, H-A-I-R, not the rabbit. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to make light of your name. I'm very concerned about how people pronounce
it. It's a funny last name.
It's a funny lost name. Now, what part of Hancock County did you come from with an accent like that?
So, I've been in the United States for 20 years, but
welcome.
Thank you. 22 years, actually. I'm originally from Australia.
Okay.
Yeah.
What part of Australia?
I was born in Sale. It's a little town 2 hours south of Melbourne on the East Coast.
Okay.
Yeah.
Never been to Australia. Love to sometime. I understand it's a beautiful country. Maybe I'll get there one day. My daughter would... That's on her bucket list, but she's too young to have a bucket list. She just has a wish list now. She just turned 30, and she says, "Dad, I want to go to Australia." She's doing some graduate work at the university at Savannah College of Art and Design, and I said, "When you get out and get a good job and you can pay for your own ticket, it's a long haul, isn't it? How long does it take to fly to Australia?"
Oh my goodness, it's about 22 hours, but 16 of those hours are over the ocean. So it's
is that comforting to you?
It's not comforting.
No,
to me, no.
I wouldn't.
16 hours of Whitecaps.
Okay,
it's quite a long flight. Yeah.
So you came to this country 22 years ago. You worked in Harlem, did you say?
Just briefly. For less than a year.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you have any official training to be a social worker?
None. I came to home homeless, and the sisters. My education is from the sisters and Ralph. And it's been quite amazing. I didn't have any education when I have high school.
Yeah.
But that's it. And
so do you like it here in the States?
I love it. you know, it's my country now. It feels,
of course.
Yeah.
Of course it is.
It's my country.
Well, how did you happen to swing this gig as the executive director? I mean, I'm very impressed.
Well, thank you. Well, I've...
For someone not as old as home.
Exactly.
See?
Well, I'm almost as old as home.
Almost 42. Yeah. I didn't think you're that old.
Home is about to be 47.
Yeah.
So I'm getting there, but I won't ever get there, I guess. But so, I was lucky I've lived with the sisters as well, and I was lucky to get to know them as human beings and to really just follow them in their mission and watch what they're about and what they were trying to do. And the things I'm talking about are things that I don't think you can necessarily learn in school. You know, one of the special things about home is that everybody gets a seat at the table, and that's there's no exception to that. And you know, I did say to Lucy, Sister Marie, also, you know, that I don't have an education. How could I take over? And Sister Marie said, "Well, that's the point. You know, to show that that every human being can." Help others.
We all have gifts of
some sort of gift.
We hope.
Yeah, and that's, I think that's what's amazing about home. You know, the clean-shaven work with the unshaven, and educated work with uneducated. Mm-hmm. We have people who, you know, you come to home for three reasons. You come because you're homeless. You come because you're driven by your faith, or you come because you want to do something good with your life, either in employment or a volunteer. So those are really the three reasons that people come to home, and it's an
Repeat those three reasons again for
Okay, so you would come to home because you're homeless and you're in desperate need.
Okay.
You would come to home because you're driven by your faith, or you would come to home because you want to do something good with your life, in your work or in your volunteer time. Those are the three primary reasons.
Yeah. Now, what order of nuns were the founders?
So Lucy was a Carmelite sister.
A Carmelite sister, okay. Mm-hmm. And do you have religious services?
We do. We have Ralph Grimes is our minister, and it's a non-denominational service.
All right.
We've also had the other sisters, Sister Barbara Hance, Sister Maria Hearn, Sister Lucille McDonald. Sister Lucille McDonald is still alive, and she's a Sister of Mercy. Sister Marie was a Sister of Mercy, and Sister Barbara Hance as well. So it's a mixed bag.
Are you looking forward to Sunday? Sunday?
We are. Well, we have also a Good Friday service.
All right, sure. Monday, Thursday, yeah. Good Friday.
And, you know, our chapel is quite special as well. When you come to home, obviously, if you're homeless, you don't have to go to the services. And we don't, you know, we don't proselytize or put flyers in your food boxes and things like that. But the chapel sits quietly on the grounds for folks. You know it's a chapel, and it's never locked. You can go in there. Mm. And the Sunday service is wild. It's the opposite of fancy. You know, Ralph is an ordained minister, and we have communion. But it's not unusual for Lucy's son, who's autistic and has Asperger's, to pipe up in the middle of it and have this wild question to ask. Uh-huh. And those things are just accepted. And, you know, people singing at the top of their lungs. The philosophy of home exists also in the church service. And when you walk into the chapel, to the left of the altar is another altar, and there are photos on the altar. And those are people who have come to us homeless or in some state of desperation and have passed away. And we have a cemetery, a legal cemetery up at the farm. Some of the pictures up there are also volunteers and the sisters who have gone as well. But it's a really very sacred space. So Easter will be a special time.
Oh, that's wonderful.
And we have a website as well.
Oh, tell us about the website.
So we have a website. It's www.homeemesusa.org.
Spell the whole thing for us, though. Home,
H-O-M-E. H-O-M-E-M-M-A-U-S-A.org.
And I suppose they could Google home and they'd find that.
Home in Orland, most likely.
Home in Orland, yes. Orland, Maine.
Yes.
And they'll go right to your website.
We have a Facebook page as well, of course.
Yeah.
And that's just, you could Google Home
Inc. Do you Twitter?
We don't.
Well, I don't think that's necessary, probably.
I don't think we need to. We're pretty busy. we have a lot going on.
You're pretty busy.
And I don't think we could swing that one.
Okay.
Yeah.